What were you trying to tell us before we started talking about Lipson?
What was I talking about?
You're talking about Pompeii and the jerk off dude and Rick's flowers trying to bang each other.
I think it's lost to the annals of time.
You don't recall?
No.
I don't know what it was, man. I just remember us talking about how end of the world situations make people horny.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if you're gonna die, might as well bang.
Have you seen the the post about the dude who was like, man, when the air raid sirens went off.
That's what it was. Oh, that's what it was.
No,
Hawaii.
So here in Nashville, the first Saturday of every month, we hear the air sirens.
It's like a tornado siren test or whatever.
Right. Because hypothetically, we're not going to get bombed World War II-esque anytime soon.
Fingers crossed, tornadoes are more likely.
Knock on wood. So you saying that makes me think that, like, are there people that are like, oh shit, this is the big one every Saturday in the first month?
What?
Vice versa. And it's kind of like, oh, I gotta fuck real fast.
There's a guy who's
not just like the first, because the first time that I moved, so I've lived here in Nashville for a while, but I didn't live close enough to one that I heard the test. And so the first time that I moved somewhere and I was close enough to hear it, I was like, what is going on? And I freaked out a little bit. We were on Discord at the time
and you were legitimately freaked out.
Well, because it also happened to be a stormy day, so I was like, what the hell is happening? And then later it was like,
yeah,
okay,
it's just like
a normal thing, right? But since then, on the first Saturday of every month, I've been like, oh, it's the tornadoes practice, right?
Right, right.
I haven't been like continuing to forget and freaking out all over again. Are you implying that there's people out there who like learn that nothing happens when the siren goes off, but they still go into like momentary panic induced horniness whenever the sirens
it feels
like Pavlov's dog, but instead of a bell, it's just like air raid sirens.
Air raid.
They have a strong survival instinct. What can I say?
There's someone out there with the Drew Barrymore from 50 First Dates syndrome,
and just
they don't know, and so they never remember because they can't form new memories. So every time it's just like, hey, time to get busy.
You know who wants to get busy and also has a strong survival syndrome?
Who, Josh?
George of the Jungle. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I need to watch out for that tree.
I'm Rick Fox. I'm an author here in Nashville, and this is the part where we throw our heads back and laugh.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I can't remember shit about this movie that you guys haven't called out already.
And we're opinionated. And tonight, Brian's late because he forgot that we were recording, so he'll be on the later part. But
this happens a lot.
But tonight, we're watching George of the Jungle. George of the Jungle came out in 1997, currently has a 56 on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Sam Wiseman and written by Jay Ward, Dana Olsen, and Audrey Wells. And it stars Brendan Fraser, Leslie Mann, Thomas Hayden Church, Richard Roundtree, and John Cleese is in this. A running thread in our hot, sweaty jungle boy
He just likes his hot, sweaty jungle boys.
I suppose so.
I mean, I do.
A man raised in the jungle by apes falls in love with a wealthy American heiress. That's the entire description.
Is that,
that it? I feel like that's the description of every hot, sweaty jungle boy movie.
I mean, they're not always American. A lot of times they're English. Most of the time I'd say they're English.
Okay, so you omit one word and you have generalized this narrative to the furthest extent, is what it seems like.
Well, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we're like 99% of the way there already. That's my point.
Yeah. I mean, it is supposed to be a take on Tarzan. So like,
well,
it makes
sense
that it would be a... Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen this movie.
You haven't?
No.
Okay.
But
it used to be on TV all the time.
You know what used to be on TV even more often than this movie was the ad for this movie. And so I have seen so many times... Watch out for the song, George, watch out for the tree.
I
and then, like, he hits the tree and he slides down and hits his nuts on a branch. And, like,
I've
seen that so many times. Wait, you said there was a cartoon of this?
Yeah, in like the 60s, they made a cartoon of George of the Jungle.
In the 60s?
I think it was.
Is this based on the cartoon, therefore?
Yeah, I would assume so. I'm not sure. Well, it might not be 60s, but I know it was an older one, maybe the 80s or something. Let me take a look at.
Yeah, we're all Googling furiously right now, except for me, who doesn't really care.
Well, there's one that came out in 2007.
Is this movie that old?
There was one that ran from September 9th to December 30th, 1967.
Yeah, the 60s.
17 episodes of it.
Apparently.
That's not a lot.
Nope.
It was created by the same guy who did Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it had that feel.
So a very old show.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that. So there's no like, oh boy, they're referencing the cartoon that I'm going to be able to pick up in this.
Is this based on, what is that, Smith Family Robinson or whatever? Don't they like wind up living on an island? Isn't that like the original family on island story or something?
But I don't think George of the Jungle is a family. I think it's just George.
Yeah, it's much more Tarzan than it is Smith.
God, that makes me want a remake where it's George Costanza of the Jungle. It's the same movie, but now it's got George.
I would watch that. I would watch the shit out of that. he teaches the gorillas just to be lazy.
No. He would try
and socially
to
awkward.
He would try to Tom Sawyer the gorillas. He would try to be the lazy gorilla and get them to do the work. He'd get them to gather the bananas while he lounged and seduce the gorilla women.
Do you think he would use his Manscaped subscription to seduce those gorilla women?
You're getting us to this intro fast, but you know what? He might. Thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring us. This is the second episode we're doing with them. Get 20% and free shipping with code OPINIONATED in all caps at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. That's kind of the required reading. They sent us a good care package, right? Yeah. It had a bunch of stuff in it. We talked about the trimmer last time,
which I really liked.
I like the trimmer.
I will say that I recently put the deodorant through its paces, and
the ball deodorant.
Yeah, the ball deodorant
just
through its
creamed
paces.
Creamed it all over your balls.
I did. I smeared it all over there, and I had a very hot, sweaty day when it was Jamie's birthday party. We had a lot of stuff out in the sun. And
how was your scrot afterwards?
I was running around. You know, I realized it at the end of the day that I had zero swamp crotch. It was like that's something you don't think about until it's a problem.
Sure.
I realized that it never became a problem when I went to go shower for the end of the day. So like it That's handled nice. Itself extremely well. High recommend for the ball deodorant.
That's nice. And that comes in, they've got all sorts of different like boxes you can get.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So yeah, definitely go check that out on manscaped.com and remember to use our code opinionated at checkout for 20% off. Additionally, if you want to help support the podcast, we're on Patreon. It's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content, including first impressions, some listener requests, and even ad-free early access to the episodes that we put up. So definitely go check that out. Again, that's patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching George the Jungle.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
There's five apes out there. Which one are we taking to Vegas?
The incredible true story...
Checkmate.
The one who's playing chess.
...of ape.
Ow! Tukey! Go find George.
Tukey Tukey.
Another mimosa, Mr. Tukey Tukey?
Tukey Tukey.
The lovely Ursula.
You've been head over heels for that ape ever since you brought him here.
You're right. I love him.
And George.
Tookie tookie.
Ape kidnapped?
Tookie tookie.
Ape napped?
Duh. This summer.
That's your dog?
The king of the jungle is falling in love.
George of the jungle, strong as he can be.
Ooh.
Watch out for a tree. Watch out for a tree.
I give you the king of the jungle.
It's getting annoying to me.
Your hair is. What about it?
It's just, I look in the mirror and I'm like, nope, I want it shorter.
Your hair is an interesting thing where it like goes straight up before it like starts its curve.
Like you've got, on this side or over here?
Either way, your hair doesn't like come out and go to an angle right away. Your hair comes up and is like, nah, I want to go straight up in the air for a minute before I start turning.
Excellent volume.
Yeah, it's got body.
Straight as an arrow.
What can I say? I'm sexy.
You got volumetric hair.
I did hair chips from Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, no kidding. I kept expecting him to like get a haircut as part of his New York makeover, but yeah. I guess they wanted to show that he hasn't lost the jungle in it.
I am surprised they never did a like accidentally knock off his wig joke.
Right? You think that was a wig?
I have no idea.
I feel like that was his hair.
I can never tell when something... Like, people will be like, this is the most obvious wig ever. And I'll be like, yeah, it is. I can totally tell that's a wig.
I don't know. I'll be honest. So, not having seen George of the Jungle before, mm-hmm. having only seen clips and the trailer,
yeah.
the movie was a lot better than I expected it to be.
It's a funny movie.
Especially given that it had like a 56 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It deserves significantly higher, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know about significantly, but higher.
This is an excellent cinema, but it has a Pixar flair to it, where if if you're the parent and your child's there with you, you're both going to have a good time within reason.
Yeah. I mean, like, this, I'm not, this is, this falls into a lot, the category that Josh often gives me shit for giving high ratings to, but I think that this movie is aiming at a very specific brand of comedy, and it's nailing that brand of comedy pretty consistently. Like, all of us were laughing fairly often throughout the movie. It wasn't like it, every second, but
I think that it nailed the comedy, especially because it was very self-aware of what it was trying to do.
Exactly.
And it made a lot of self-aware jokes throughout the movie. You know, the narrator jokes where like, because throughout the majority of the movie, the narrator is just narrating.
Yeah.
But then occasionally people will like argue with the narrator, or he'll do like, it's kind of like the Always Sunny gag where they're like, I'll never get stopped. And then it's like the gang gets stopped, right? Where he's like, George of the Jungle finds himself in trouble. And then it cuts to George of the Jungle, and he's like,
oh boy,
boy,
I'm in trouble.
I sure have found myself in trouble.
George sure in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I like that also they will go the next level and have like the bad guys will be like, look, dude, you're really raining on my parade. Can you stop that for a minute?
Exactly. But I like the occasional fourth wall breaks.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I also think that it helps that we all enjoy a good amount of 13-year-old humor.
Yes.
Because with the amount of ball and dick jokes we like to make, and the fact that a significant amount of this movie's humor was like fart, ball, piss, and shit jokes. It was like, okay, well, maybe it was, because you're talking about like, it's got the Pixar quality where parents and children alike can enjoy this movie.
Parents,
and I can guarantee you that like my mother watching this movie would be like, oh, how crass.
Yeah, it's more like dad and the son are going to have a good time.
And it's right. and the entertainment factor is expounded on the fact that mom is in the corner sighing while dad and the son are guffawing.
Exactly. And dad will get a lot of shit for it later, and it will be worth it.
They use so many sound effects that it's like the Wilhelm scream of sound effects they use to add nauseam through here.
Yes.
Like the crashing cymbal sound whenever George wrecks into a tree or something like yep, I've definitely heard that sound 75 times in my life.
I don't think they actually had it, but it would be like
there's just no original Foley in this
George
whatsoever.
Turns and looks at the camera and the slide whistle goes like
yes, yeah, exactly.
That was the level we were at with this movie.
It was a lot of fun though. Like I don't feel like I've seen a movie like this made in a very long time.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like I guess this style of humor has gone out of favor or whatever.
A piss and poo humor?
No, I think it's this like there's
the tongue-in-cheek self-aware humor?
Well, no. I don't think it's that.
Tongue-in-cheek self-aware piss and shit humor.
Tongue-in-cheek self-aware but not winking at the camera
type
of thing. It's not like, oh, we're being very silly, aren't we? No, it's just doing the humor, and there's nothing like there's nothing ironic about this movie.
So, like, compared to Deadpool, right? Because the Deadpool movies also do the fourth wall break, and I enjoy the Deadpool movies, but I feel like they're a lot more on the side that you're describing, where it's like, isn't it funny how we're breaking the fourth wall?
Damn,
we know you
love
fourth wall breaks.
That would be sort of the midpoint, because I think Deadpool's actually still funny. The other side of this that I would point to as like the complete opposite end of the diagram is the Thor movie. Like the Thor movie, when it was trying to be funny, it was trying to be very funny at its own expense. Like that movie would do silly things and then like almost look at the camera and just be like, man, isn't this silly that we're doing this? But not quite get there. Whereas this movie is just genuine about what it is trying to be and being very direct about it. And I appreciate
that. Yeah, it's also very much a kid's movie.
Yes. Right?
Because there's plenty of comedy movies where, like, I don't know, it gets a little more violent. Like, all the violence in this is still very, like, bonk. Pow.
Right. Yes.
I'm going to wind up my fist, and you're going to spin around for 30 seconds after I wallop you.
I thought that was hilarious, and it's just because I'm 13, but...
Pretty much, yeah. But it feels very different than... Because I think, is this movie PG?
I believe it's PG, it's even PG.
They say ass.
Yeah, they did say ass, so
they
used
their one ass.
Well, yeah, but it's 97. Yeah, yes, it is still PG.
In 97, saying ass once got you an R.
No kidding. The movie starts off with what I assume is either like the same animation that the original 67 cartoon had, or like, hey, it's very similar and close to the 67 cartoon. Look how we're tying it back to this original George
of the
Jungle.
I didn't remember that. I thought it was a show before the movie, like an old, like,
it was a
black and white show.
Yeah. Like a live action show?
That's what I thought.
Not black and white, no.
I'm probably thinking of some other black and white jungle show.
I mean, it was very similar animation to what was in there. It was this thing.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's like, the Rocky, it's the Rocky and Bullwinkle animation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It basically looks like a ripped version of Fred Flintstone swinging from a vine.
Right, yeah. And it
Fred Flintstone don't have that kind of body.
That's what I'm saying, a ripped version.
Oh, I thought you meant ripped off.
No.
Well, but it starts and it does the theme song from, like, from
the show.
Yeah. And it cuts into... Okay, and now we're here, and he's grown up. And
right. So it's a 90s hip-hop version.
Which I don't know
it.
Who, like, maybe this is their attempt
to, like...
No, it was just
a normal version. Oh. And it was really good, actually.
Is this their attempt to bring in, like, the parents who are like, hey, you remember watching George of the Jungle?
Could be, yeah. Like, I mean, I would not be surprised by that. I don't know that this show was popular because it only got 17 episodes and apparently, like, only aired in 1 year. But
there was
I remember because it was on Cartoon
not.
Network or something.
There was a newer one around, like, 10 years ago. They had... several episodes.
Which means it must have developed a cult following for decades.
Probably.
To have a re-immersion when this movie came out.
I think that the existence
of happened 10 years ago, so it was still, like, much older, or much newer than this movie came. Like, even George of the Jungle 2 had been out several years before the cartoon came out, so I think it's just, like, we haven't used this IP in a million years.
We've got the rights to it. Let's throw
maybe
together.
That's
yeah.
all it was.
I mean, I think that the fact that Tarzan is likely to never fully leave the cultural zeitgeist, and the fact that it will get a remake every now and then, the same way that Robin Hood will, just because it's free, like you don't have to pay anyone to make a Tarzan movie.
Sure.
I think that that's why this spin-off property of it has maintained as much as it has.
apparently... Brendan Fraser agreed to do this movie after he auditioned for and lost the role of Tarzan in Disney's animated Tarzan movie.
That's awesome.
Did he just really want to be Tarzan?
I guess. I mean, to be
wait,
fair.
You're saying he auditioned for... was there enough of a time in between that he could get ripped? Or he was like... Was he method acting into the physique
that's
of Tarzan?
I know. Was he already fucking... like, slashed or did
that
he do
doesn't
that
happen
he
just, unless no, it's very just, intentional.
Well, there could have been other roles that he wanted to be slashed for.
I know he was the caveman in that one movie, which is very similar to this.
That one movie, my favorite.
Yeah, that one movie.
I haven't seen a lot of cavemen with the deep V.
That was some magnificent dick cleaving.
Yeah,
he was in his mid to late 20s when he made this.
Oh wow, so. Now I feel old. I'm older than he was in this movie. Damn it!
Encino Man is the movie I was thinking of. But Caleb, so a question. Before we started this movie, you were being very hard on how you thought that Brendan Fraser was not an attractive man prior to watching this movie. Has that changed?
Yeah, you said you would rather fuck Mowgli than Brendan Fraser.
I think has a more attractive face.
I don't think
but
so at all.
After having watched this and the fact we get some serious like nude Brendan, like, I'm surprised we still managed to get a PG movie out of this because you
see ass for a second.
Just a little bit, and they get real close to just his cock dangling out there. Like, he obviously shaves because using Manscaped products, perhaps.
Code opinionated at checkout.
Because that camera angle was rather... I don't know. Generous isn't the right word, but it went pretty far south. Anyway, so at this point, I'm really not sure because Mowgli has a nicer looking face, but Brendan Fraser, I think, has a better looking body.
Mowgli's got a weird face. So I'm not really into his face.
So if we switched Mowgli's head with Brendan Fraser's body, then
oh, Caleb's unbelievably
ideal man.
Fuckable.
Yeah.
It makes sense why Ursula like gets the hot. although she gets the hots for him, but man, like George is like for comedic effect, a big dumb dummy.
Yeah,
sure,
right. Ursula is like just as dumb as him.
Not quite as dumb. She's like
with the fucking chipmunk
like,
voice.
I don't
like
even think it's her. I don't even think it's her character. I think it's just the way, like her voice, because she's like standing up for herself, and she's like, "Mom, I don't want to marry Lyle. He's like a bad guy and stuff."
You said it.
Such a
you
jerk.
Said love. That's it, isn't it? I'm in love.
I couldn't figure this out myself.
It's hilarious to me that was the trigger moment of her being like...
That's her house moment. Uh-huh. Where she, wait, repeat what you just said, Mom.
Exactly, for sure. Yeah, Ursula is not maybe the most feminist character in all of cinema history. Although she does have some moments of, like, you know, more agency than you might expect from the Tarzan love interest.
She's just channeling a whole lot of blonde energy.
Yes, yes, she is.
Very blonde energy.
But I want to get back to Brendan Fraser for a second because, well,
because he's more interesting than Ursula's character at any moment.
What? I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm going to put that down more to the fact that it's Brendan Fraser and less the fact of Ursula being a bad character. I adore Brendan Fraser. Like, I really love him. Too.
That's because you're in love with him from The Mummy.
Yes, I am. And it has nothing to do with the fact that his character's name is Rick in those movies. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I really love Brendan Fraser as an actor in these kinds of parts where he can just be the comedic action hero. And this is not so heavy on the action side as it is the comedic side, but I think he does extremely well with that. He is incredibly charming on screen, and it is absolutely necessary in this movie that he be very charming because he is a big dumb.
Yeah, he's got some almost Jim Carrey, not charisma, but the vibe
energy.
He's bringing. Yeah,
yeah.
If for lack of a better, I know I just said that a minute ago, but the fact that he is so willing to be a complete clown on screen.
He's not holding anything back.
No,
well,
not at all.
There's the scene where he's like, he's trying to convince Ursula to dance with him, mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, why are you so nervous? There's no one here to be embarrassed in front of.
Right.
It's just George. Yeah. Except he's saying it in his broken, like,
his weird
jungle
George
English.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact that his friend Ape
is John Cleese.
Perfect fluent English. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, you know, takes some coaxing, and then eventually they have their awkward but, like, charming dance together, right? And I feel like that was his approach to the movie, because there's a lot of scenes, especially the ones where they're like driving around New York or San Francisco, where they're driving around San Francisco, that feel very, and I guess that's just an actor's job, but it still seems like he's actually enjoying doing the goofy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that he really brings the perfect amount of himbo energy to this movie. Yeah. And it's everything.
Before being a himbo was.
Right.
Cool.
Well, he was a meatloaf.
He was a meatloaf.
He's a total meatloaf. Yeah.
Perhaps even a beefcake.
And for some reason, Ursula was like, "No, he's not a meatloaf. He has such a sensual intelligence." And it's just like, oh, does he have that?
It's his body. He's not sexually intelligent.
He's not a complete dumbass. He's just very naive in a lot of ways, and he speaks in a very stupid way. He's not, like, completely stupid. He's just also somewhat clumsy.
He's just like, in D&D terms, his nature skill is very high. Meanwhile, his intelligence is very low.
Wait, what's a nature skill?
I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. If you're in a forest, for some reason, you
knowledge
need to
nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I was like, they just have a nature thing. Skill now?
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've done 3.5.
It's hard for me to say that he's not just an idiot when he has an intelligent chess-playing monkey with him. Like, if it was just him and all the other apes, I'd say, okay, just a fish out of water.
Right.
I genuinely think George of the Jungle is kind of just a dumb.
I mean, people don't just become smart by being around other smart people or gorillas.
What I'm saying is that, like, while John Cleese Ape is, like, at an 18 intelligence, George is at, like, a 9. He's kind of dumb, but he's not at, like,
he's definitely
6.
Less than a 9.
See, I would put him at, like, a regular 10 to 9 for intelligence. I just feel like his wisdom's way. Like,
I think he's at the perfect level to be a barbarian.
Yeah, but that's for comedic effect. He often, like, goes into, like, stuff that is way above.
He switches into fluency.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he will say stuff that is, like, way above. He is almost at the point of, George does not have grammatical correctness for fun. George just liked to speak this way.
Like that scene from The Office where Kevin's, like, why use more
many word when one word work or one word good?
Yeah,
you see.
Before we get too far away from the reference to his sensual intelligence,
Caleb wants to talk about his abs some more.
And there's this moment where there are these various female characters, which none of which include Ursula, as like the roommate and a bunch of women.
Ursula's there too.
She shows up in a minute. But this moment where Brendan Fraser is like in slow motion running alongside a horse.
It's this Fabio scene.
Yeah. It's just completely random. I don't know why it's in there, but I think I saw this first time when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, something like that. And that was probably the first time in my life where I'm just kind of like, Yeah, I don't know if I'm entirely straight.
I was just about to say, like, you think this movie awoke anyone?
I'm sure this movie awoke a lot of people.
That's not even what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say that that's the moment where you're like, you know what? Maybe long hair is the right play.
I thought you were going
to say that. I have regressed back to that several times in my life.
It's not for everyone. Some people just look weird.
Caleb is just trying to become the guy he would have sex with.
Would you fuck me?
I mean,
I'd fuck
it's not the worst strategy.
It's not. That seems like a perfectly reasonable one to me.
Talk about Lyle for a minute, because he is so comedically the bad guy.
If you have not seen the movie, which you should go see the movie, but if you've not seen it, Lyle is Ursula's fiance at the beginning of the movie, and like it's this almost arranged marriage that her mother has almost forced her into.
Well, no, at the beginning,
I think she's just so dumb that she doesn't know what a good guy is. Like, she's like, this is a perfectly fine husband right here. Mm-hmm,
I don't get that impression. I think she just doesn't have a lot of will for herself at the beginning of the movie to defy her mom. So like, okay. I think that's more of what it is rather than it.
But,
just
but
being,
it's not like, I don't think it's a forced marriage. I think it's a marriage that she's going along with because that's what she should do as an obedient daughter,
exactly.
Even though she's not the biggest fan of it.
Right, exactly. But Lyle is the biggest dickhead imaginable.
Absolutely.
The one redeeming thing about him is that he never intentionally shot George, and he was like really unhappy when he shot, like while he shot him, he's like, no.
He was
like,
also,
I really appreciate that he's like, I'm not gonna shoot someone.
He also thought that was a fake gun.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
but why on earth would you have a lighter and an actual pistol that have the exact same form factor in your bag?
It wasn't his bag. Because
but where did it come from?
He had the lighter.
Yeah.
And then in his moment of just like casual racism, he's like,
he
dear Swahili boys, clean my lighter for me. And he tosses it to them, and they are, of course, are like, well, fuck this guy, and they just stash it in their bag.
Yeah,
sure.
They put it in the bag where they've got a similar pistol,
where they have the exact same Derringer. They get not a lighter.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was their plan, by the way, for him just to like shoot his cigar off?
No. He's gonna shoot his hand off.
Oh, is he gonna shoot his hand?
Because he puts it up to like.
I
he's like
the
covering
involved.
The wind,
yeah.
And he's like aiming it at his hand as he's trying to like block
they
the wind.
They didn't like know, like he pulls them out and he's like, whatever, and just throws him the one in his, like that he pulled out
well, and
first.
One of the porters, when he's pulling it out, he does have a moment of like,
he's got both of them in
which
hand.
Which one is it? I want to give him the right one. Whatever.
But he's not like,
a dick.
I'm going to make him shoot himself.
And if you see which porter it is that pulls it out of the bag,
yeah.
It's the one that he casually like, while playing on the rope bridge that the guy was like,
he
hey, this
over.
Is very rickety. Do not play on this. You will die.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, this isn't rickety. I've been on rope bridges before and they held. Watch this, everyone. And he just like is an asshole and jumps around and shakes it back and forth.
Why were
and
they
one
initially?
Of the porters falls.
Why were they initially in the jungle? Because I wasn't here for that.
Ursula is there on like
a nature safari looking for the like
the white
great
ape.
White ape. Yeah.
So she's supposed to be intelligent.
Yeah, she's reasonably like not a genius, but I don't think she's supposed to be stupid.
More like a rich people want to have a safari thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get behind. I thought you were saying her career was like studying gorillas.
I didn't get
this isn't Jurassic Park 2.
Okay.
She didn't show up with Malcolm in tow.
But yeah, so like,
and she's there filming herself and filming like their expedition as they go to find the great white. No, I don't even think they're trying to find the great white ape. I think they're just trying to find the apes.
Yeah,
because it's
no,
not
she
until
says, she says specifically she's looking for like the big white ape. Yeah.
Okay. And that's when Lyle just like shows up, like he's invited himself there to.
Hey, babe.
Well, no, he's like, hey, babe, the jungle sucks. Let's go get macchiatos.
That's basically it, yeah.
And that's when the lion comes out, right?
Yeah.
And we get the, it's you know, it's surprising that we watched The Jungle Book just the other week because there's a very similar scene here where we have George of the Jungle versus the lion compared to Mowgli versus the bear, except for in this one, they are doing wrestling move, bouncing off of rubber trees.
Yeah, he literally clotheslines the lion at one point.
after bouncing off the ropes,
off the rubber tree.
Rubber comes
not
from trees.
Yes, but he doesn't like go up and like launch himself off of a tree. He body slams into a tree, which goes boing.
Yeah,
and
a rubber tree.
Complete with the sound of
that. Yeah, exactly. I like the part where he just like lifts the lion over his head and is like spinning it fast enough to cause like a whirlwind almost.
Right. Oh, what was like just like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, yeah.
Spinning
yeah,
the exactly. basketball on the one hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, George is not even trying.
And this is where we get one of the several recurring jokes, because Lyle's thing is that he, like, rushes off being a pansy,
a
and
coward,
he trips
yeah.
and he falls and hits his head, lands in poo, right. does something comedic, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got George, who, of course, his thing is not looking out for that insert blank. And in right. the jungle, it's always yeah. a tree. Mm-hmm. In San Francisco, sometimes it's a car, a column,
the mast of a boat.
It's whatever yeah. is you know, conveniently there that he should not run into. That's what he's going to run into.
Of course.
Yeah. But what I like about Lyle is his, like, no, there were two lions, and the great white ape attacked me. He was 400 pounds, and he
like
yeah.
ripping
me
berries
up,
off and smearing them on his arms and
yeah,
ripping
exactly.
his expensive
so
shirt.
So much blood, yeah.
I
yeah.
wanted them to, like, call him on his shit when they found, like, because later on they find just, like, a human footprint, and they're like, ah, the foot of the great white ape, and it's like, you thinking Tarzan out here is 400 pounds? Like, clearly are full of shit, Lyle.
He could be like a foot.
That and the well, I mean, one of the guys does kind of call him out. He's like, oh, so it's two lions this time. Last time there was only one. But I honestly am sad that Lyle is not kind of in the middle half of this movie, because
yeah.
he's more fun as a villainous presence than Ursula's mom is.
Who takes the villain spot when they get to
there's also the henchmen. Like, I feel like all the movies around the 1990s to the early 2000s had
a pair of, like, criminal
version right. of the criminal, wet bandits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just like in Home Alone. Were they called the wet bandits?
They were the wet yeah. bandits, okay, yeah. Okay. I'll be honest,
or Power
though,
Rangers.
I didn't like these schmucks.
You've
got Thor and, like,
Greasy Guy.
Yeah. I like Greasy Guy. I didn't like Thor.
He's the British
I think
guy.
Thor hammed it up
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were okay, but I thought that the parts that they were given were not as interesting as what was going on elsewhere.
Yeah.
I had fun when we got to the fight scene with them, and I'm sure we're going to have to talk about at least a little bit. But
I mean, they're okay. I think it's just the actors. Like, I think
yes.
everybody else, like, Ursula kind of ditzy, but everyone else, like, fits in their roles yeah. really well.
Yeah.
And these guys seemed like, hey, you know, maybe you tried out for Lyle, or maybe
right.
you wanted to be one of the guys in the gorilla costume, but we need our wet bandits, so, like, you're our bad guys now.
I think
it doesn't seem like they really go wholehearted into it.
I think for me, it's that their subplot is completely disconnected from the George subplot.
Because their whole
like
thing, it doesn't... Well, because Lyle as a villain is, I want Ursula, and if George gets in the way, then I'm going to
yeah, there's
eliminate
good
him. He's
there.
Dumb.
Hey, Ursula's, well, he wouldn't want to eliminate him. He just stops
from
it.
The picture, not yeah. from life. Ursula's mom is... George the Jungle is a monkey man and not fit to
marry
for
my
high
daughter.
Society.
Yeah.
It was weird to me that she was the only one impervious to his sexual intelligence.
I feel like it should have been the dad who was impervious, right?
Someone, like any, like either of them should have been like, God.
I mean, her dad clearly
Ursula,
gets it.
I understand. I
mean, that's basically where her dad is. It was
have
like,
you
kinda
seen
like,
the V?
I like that Ursula's dad is such a cool dude. Like,
just go with the flow.
Yeah, exactly. Because so often this, like, I'm used to every dad in fiction just either being the most wonderful dad in the world who immediately dies
yeah.
or a complete shithead. And I like that this
well,
guy
you
is
get
just kinda, like...
There's some that are a mix of the two, right?
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah.
In Man of Steel, Pa Kent is just like
no,
a big dumb jackass
he's
who walks into a tornado for
yes,
no reason.
For no reason.
For no reason.
I mean, what's memorable to me, what's memorable to me is actually quite the opposite of what you're describing, whereas I feel like the daughter has to marry who the parents want, but it's more what the mother actually wants,
yes.
and the dad doesn't actually give a shit, is more the trope.
Yes.
That's probably
I think you're
fair,
right.
But I think that in a lot of movies, I could definitely see the dad just being on the mom's side, or like being her
or
secondary.
Or just like
dude.
Silently agreeing.
He
yeah,
seems
whatever.
Consistently against her. He just doesn't put up He doesn't put his foot down.
Yeah.
He's just like she always overthrows, and he's like, eh, whatever.
But
yeah,
maybe
exactly
this is
like
more of a '90s trope where it's like wife bad.
Yes.
Could be.
Something to that
it
well,
also
mother-in-law
be that,
bad.
It,
sure.
It may also be that they're in the same situation that Lyle and she almost was, because she's the rich one. Lyle's also rich, I think, but I think
she's actually
rich one.
He's like, I'm the richest and handsomest one here. So,
right.
Like,
well,
he's hanging out with
like a bunch of...
porters
their job?
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
African tour guides?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tour guides.
$20 in a year?
Yeah. But like, I think it may be that... So the dad, Ursula's dad, is in a similar situation of like, this sucks, but I have a lot of money because I'm married to her, so I'm not going to rock the boat too much.
He used to be a jungle boy, too.
Say hi to Shep for me. No, but to your point, like, Ursula's mother is very involved in the Ursula and George storyline.
Yeah.
Right.
And our wet bandits are kind of just like, oh, we were here to bag a great white ape. Well, that's just a dude. Oh, there's a monkey that talks. Okay, we'll get that instead.
Well, first they said there's an elephant. They have white gold, ivory. Yeah. And then they see the talking gorilla because it's trying to save
Shep. They're like, we can make a show out of this.
Yeah. The only thing redeeming about them being on screen is that it creates opportunities for John Cleese's ape
to have more screen time.
To say things. I don't know, even if it's just he's going to fart because he's in a cage or something like that. Yeah. He's absolutely the appeal.
Yeah, they do.
Granted, they milk it pretty hard. But the wet bandits, they get old, but at least their antics create an excuse for John Cleese to do that.
Yeah. Right, but the only way that their whole plot ties into the George of the Jungle is that it's a reason for George to go back to the jungle.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I would rather have Lyle be the one who shows up and starts making trouble for Ape and Shep and everybody.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, ideally for me, I want Shep to be there with George in New York, just being all classy as a gorilla.
Shep and Ape.
Shep is the elephant who acts like a puppy, by the way.
I'm sorry. No, Ape. I want Ape to be in.
Yes. I want Ape there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Him to be in New York sounds like
he's not a fish out of water.
Exactly.
Except for San Francisco. This is great. Hey, I'm going to head down to Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, exactly. That would be really funny.
Now that I think about, like, he totally went with the Wet Bandits playing anyway. He ended up in Vegas singing, like, on the stage.
But
all the money's mine.
Exactly. He's his own agent now.
That's his big issue with it. He doesn't even care that they're kidnapping him and all that. He's like, the cut you're taking is too large.
That's right.
50% my ass.
I'm doing all the work here.
Doing it my way.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good version. I actually really like that version of the song.
It was solid.
Played.
I wonder if it's on the soundtrack.
It might be.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that would have been a much funnier bit to have, like, George has none of the manners, but he looks like a normal person, than you have a gorilla who has all the manners, but he's a fucking gorilla.
He's a gorilla.
That would be a much funnier thing, and then you could have Lyle show up to, like, Lyle would be like, George, clearly you cannot be with her. This would not work. She would be terrible for you. You would ruin her life, George. And then George gets sad and go back. Like, I think that would be better. But it might not be as easily comedically timed, and it would not get the
ridiculous joke back in the jungle.
Yeah.
Unless Lyle, like, comes back to San Francisco, convinces George to leave, and then Ursula chases George back to the jungle, and Lyle chases Ursula. Like, it gets too messy at that point.
It being a comedy plot, it could be as messy as you want.
Yeah, I don't really think it needs, like, a reason to go back to the jungle other than, like, George was happy there, and What's-Her-Face will go anywhere with George. Well,
you can't end Tarzan with them going back to England. That's
lame. Yeah,
no, but that's
the jungle.
That's why, I'm, like, by
that's
the
exactly
end of
what
this,
happened in the IRL Pocahontas story, and it didn't go well.
It did not, no.
John Smith and Pocahontas went back to England, and I think it was a miserable experience for the both of them.
And also she got sick and died.
I wonder why.
Because of all the, like, germs she's
smallpox.
Not used to.
I guess so. Something like that. But I think the only thing we would lose of value is the hilarious to me but no one else joke of the bird flying all the way to San Francisco in like 2 minutes. And also I think the genuinely hilarious joke of George gets some Air Jordans and runs through the jungle with them, which is just so ridiculous that it's hilarious to me.
I mean, that product placement helped to bankroll this film.
I'm sure it did.
Well, I don't know why the jokes work for me in this movie, but like Ace Ventura, right?
Ventura doesn't work for you?
There's a lot of parts that I find funny, but I don't enjoy Ace Ventura as much as this movie.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you.
What about the other Pet Detective?
Wait, are you talking about the two where he's in the jungle or one where he's in just a detective?
Either
the one where he gets pooped out of the rhino.
What do you mean?
That's why our listeners tune in.
I think the thing about this movie that those movies don't have necessarily is that with this one there is a constant change of scenery, so you go from jungle to city back to jungle, and so that I think freshens up the movie and lets it do other things, whereas Ace Ventura maybe has a more consistent like thing going on, and so that makes it harder for it to have that like mix up that
maybe I don't know.
I don't think that's it.
I'm not thinking of a specific joke in Ace Ventura, but like the scene in George of the Jungle where he UPSs himself back to the jungle to get there quickly.
Yeah.
That's funny and cheesy and dumb.
Right.
But, like, I still, I genuinely enjoyed it. It was like, oh, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could put that same joke into Ace Ventura, and it doesn't come off the same way to me.
I think that Ace Ventura had, okay, so Ace is a ridiculous comedic character that exists in a largely not as comedic as he is.
Like,
world.
He's the comedy guy, they're the straight guy.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of the world is.
There's no narrator that they're having a fight with or like a dog.
Exactly.
I guess that's fair because another movie that feels the same to me, but I like this kind of humor in more, is like the Naked Gun movies, stuff like that, where
everything is insane.
Everything's a gag.
Yeah.
Nice beaver.
Yeah. Exactly.
She hands
not having
beaver.
Seen the Naked Gun, I'm assuming she
you haven't
over.
Seen him. Okay.
Okay.
We're watching.
Let me set
the
scene.
So, the main character in
Leslie
the Naked
Nielsen,
Gun,
right?
He is climbing up a ladder, but there's like female attractive character wearing a skirt is climbing up it ahead
above
of him.
Yeah.
And he looks up and says, "Nice beaver." And what immediately happens is she's hands him a taxidermied beaver. And it's just kind of like, oh!
nice.
And it's just full of stuff like that. It's hilarious.
I there's so many jokes, but since you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it because we're going to watch this movie together.
Is it like Airplane, though? Because Airplane is also something that where everything is constantly over the top, but I don't like that movie because it goes too far with that.
I like Naked Gun a lot more than Airplane.
Oh, no. Okay. Fucking Naked Gun and Naked Gun 2 slap. Like, every joke in there is
Naked
amazing.
Naked Gun 2 is titled Naked Gun like 2.5.
Gotcha.
Which Naked Gun was it where he's bribing the guy and then the guy starts bribing him back?
I don't remember.
That one is
I think it's the Naked Gun.
It's
amazing.
That is the best joke.
The thing for me about Airplane versus this movie, because they're both very silly, very over the top movies, I don't feel like Airplane is ever interested in telling you an actual story. And this movie, loose as it is, does tell you a continuing story with some conflict about whether or not George and Ursula will actually get together.
Right. Well, and this might be the best example of IMDb actually getting a summary for the story correct. Man in jungle raised by apes falls in love with wealthy American heiress. That's pretty much most of the story.
It is. And
you could add a little tag where it says, and some people aren't happy about it. And there you go. You got the whole plot line laid out for you.
I like that. Like I appreciate that story. I think that it's mainly because of Brendan Fraser, although I do also like Ursula in this movie. I'm not as hard on her as I think you guys are. But
I don't dislike her, I just think she's dumb.
Yeah, okay, and that's fine to have that character.
Sure, yeah. I like...
I'm not even dumb. She comes across as ditzy constantly.
A little bit, yeah. But I do buy these two being together, and that's helpful a lot to the movie's credit.
Yeah, they're both morons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
A himbo and a shimbo.
Wait a minute.
Shimbo.
I don't know what the nerd...
Bimbo!
Bimbo!
Oh! I forgot.
You know, the elephant.
Speaking of her being a bimbo, do we actually figure out what her job is supposed to be? She's like, she says, I'm going to go to work.
A rich daughter.
Yeah, I think that's all it is.
Because she says, I'm going to go to work, and doesn't she like go to talk to her dad?
Basically.
That's it, yeah.
that's her job. She goes and gets money from dad.
Thanks for paying
being an heiress.
No, I think she does work at whatever firm her dad does, and that's why he's
throwing it's like his bank or something.
Yeah, something like that, essentially. But yeah, like she and George really do fit pretty well together. They're both very nice, very sweet people that are kind of dumb, and it kind of works out. And I want to see them together much more than I want to see her and fucking asshole dude together.
What do you think of the way it ends? For because we got a series
where in
of
the
endings.
Lion King scene.
No, the endings for each, because we've got an ending for the Wet Bandits, we've got an ending for the villain whose name has suddenly escaped.
Lyle.
Well, yeah. We got an ending for Lyle.
What
we have an ending for George and Ursula, and then we get an ending for Ape as well.
I love the ending of this movie, and I do like these extended, like tie up every single plot line types of endings when they're fun.
Sure.
As long as they're not overstaying their welcome, I think that this kind of ending is really good, and especially when you get to John Cleese just singing My Way. That's just hilarious to me.
It is.
Was Lyle at the wedding?
No, Lyle had his own wedding to a gorilla.
I knew about it. I just thought
gorilla,
like, maybe.
That would have been hilarious.
And
if,
the
like,
gorilla
he's sitting
did
there
not
with the gorilla.
Understand that no meant no, because when Lyle put up a protest, the gorilla said,
We all know you can't rape your spouse.
As we all know.
Well, he's in a
he
weird
says sarcastically.
Cult. He's in a cult. It's fine.
As we all know, when guys get raped, it's funny. That's how it always works.
Well, this was a while ago, and hopefully we've learned a thing or two or three. three since then.
I mean, I mean, did he's laugh a at the villain. Joke, so, like,
he was going to make that woman marry him against her will.
Yeah,
it's
he was trying
to
pressure Ursula into a forced marriage. And let's be clear, the gorilla wasn't bending him over backwards, face down, ass up in the
we
boat.
We don't know that.
He was smooching.
Hug away. He was hug away.
You're right, Brian. He had it coming.
Yeah, I thank you.
Oh my gosh.
It just cuts to, like, as it's doing Singing My Way, it cuts to the gorilla just in a full mating dress, just pounding this guy.
Blam, blam, blam.
You see, it's like the steamy glass, and you see the hands, and you see Lyle's face slowly get pushed up again.
Me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Manscaped is definitely not going to be sponsoring us for much longer.
I mean, that gorilla was not shaved well. It is a terrible ad for Manscaped, that gorilla.
Oh my gosh.
But no, like, I really appreciate the series of endings, and I think that that is always a fun way to end a movie like this.
I still have the COVID cough, man. I like how quickly they wrap everything
up.
Because it would be very easy to, like, drag it. Oh, the bad guys are defeated. Now we're going to drag it out. Like, Lyle marries a gorilla and sails off into the sunset, and we never see him again.
Ursula and George get married.
Ursula and George get married.
Immediately have child.
The mom gets dunked on by ape, and then immediately now it cuts to, like, months later, they've got a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then
her
credits
and the
roll, and ape interrupts it to Sing My Way in Vegas.
Yeah.
There you go. That's your ending.
The only note I have is that I feel like Lyle and the gorilla should be at the wedding and just, like, grumpily sitting at a table like,
I can't believe you made me come to this.
But still very clearly married. Exactly. Yeah.
You see a very weird, like, feral ape man child.
That was fast.
It repeats the line that the dad had earlier where he's such a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Oh, man. The only other thing that I'd say is that I don't like the ending for the Wet Bandits. Where, like, because the ending for them is, oh,
it doesn't make any sense.
Ape stopped them. But then when Ape went to Vegas, he, like, brought the Wet Bandits
with just to stick them inside of a prop so that they could have, like,
so they keep
apes bumping up against it.
Yeah, they keep getting, like, squished during the dance number or whatever, which, like, haha, comedic role reversal.
Well, why would the audience care about that?
And why would they, like, agree, like, just, you're the Wet Bandits, just leave.
Right. Everyone loves physical humor, and they probably get, like, a little cut of that pie.
Get a little bit of scratch.
That's why they put up with it. They're like, it's a living.
Also, they're fucking gorillas. They could kill them if they wanted.
Yeah, I do like the...
That would ruin his showbiz career, okay?
It's kind of like the whole cake or death thing, but take this paycheck or you're going to die.
I really like, speaking of the like, extra gorillas, I love all the times it cuts to them, like, playing the bongos, but it's clearly, like, not even close to the beat that the music is actually playing.
At least,
like,
those were actually people in suits as opposed to the tiny monkey from Indiana Jones. It's like that beat is three times faster than his one arm that is actually making contact with that tiny bongo.
Drum solo being played, and then, like, the monkey itself is just going, like, dunk, dunk, dunk.
Why didn't they just speed up the gorillas?
Because it's funnier this way.
That's the kind of shit they did back in the day. It's like, no one's going to be able to tell the difference if you just take the footage and make it three times as fast.
Yeah, they doctored, like, the shit out of the little the monkey, like, pretending to be George of the Jungle against the Lion, like, just playing, like, the same clip over to make it look like he's banging his chest and shit. Yeah.
The CG was so weirdly, like, good and bad at the same time. Like, Shep the Elephant running around doing his dog tricks and stuff.
Right.
It was like, that's not as terrible as I expected.
It got better
be.
As the film went on, strangely.
They were learning.
This whole movie is a cartoon, and that's why I think it works.
But then there's another scene where, like, a lion turns and, like, Winston has a big cheese.
It's like, it's watching George getting ready to slam into a tree, and it, like, does the, like, comedic wince.
Yeah, they make a lion wince. Yeah. It's so weird.
It's like they had an intern and they decided to hire him in the middle of the movie. And he actually had about a month of experience to begin with, and suddenly you're in Hollywood now, baby.
I think this movie was early enough in CG that this may have been incredible CG.
He went on to Jurassic
CG.
Park.
That's right.
This movie was much better than I expected it to be. My least favorite part is not even that bad, but I guess I'll say the Wet Bandits, just because they're a little bit disconnected from the rest of the story, and I don't really like the way that theirs gets wrapped up, because their ending is just kind of like, haha, you got farted on and now you're in my Vegas act and you get squished a little
bit. Do you like this better than either of the Ace Venturas?
Yes, I like it better than both.
When's the last time you saw them?
Probably 2 years ago.
We're gonna have to watch that. For
what
the
do you
podcast.
Mean?
It's just they're it's undeniably good. There's you can't like this is one of those things where like,
I prefer Jim Carrey in dramatic roles.
Like yeah. that's weird. That's huh? real weird.
23. He's a good serious actor, like Jack yeah, Black.
Truman Show. Like he's funny I in that, but he's still like, a serious. It's still I mean, a serious
I'm
not movie.
I like him in all of his
yeah,
stuff.
He's a great like, actor, but I'm just very.
Well, anyway, and this is why we normally shy away from comedies, is because so much so of it is subjective. Just personal taste. Like yeah. my wife loves Robin Williams, and I'm like. He's not that funny.
Get the fuck off this podcast, you monster!
What do you mean?
They're Robin both, Williams. They are like, they are treasures. They are human treasures.
I guess I just don't like guys going up and being like, hey, my voice is wacky, or hey, my face is wacky.
That's
doesn't
this whole
that
movie
make
that you
laugh?
Just enjoyed.
No, this is the jokes going. Like,
there's depth Brennan, here.
Brendan Fraser isn't being like, ooh, wincing lion face. Nanu, nanu. Like,
Brendan Fraser
he's not
is
pulling
like,
his butthole open and pretending to make it talk either.
He is at best 2/3 as funny or charming as either of those other two men you mentioned.
And okay, I think that's why this movie is better, because it's not quite as over the top as those are.
I do like okay. the butthole talking joke from
this. That's weird.
You just invalidated the point.
Why? I know, but I like that. And my wife and I do that to each other.
What about the slinky okay. going down like the great steps of the mountain?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, all of it's so fucking good.
It's mid.
rate this movie, you asshole.
Wait, you didn't. What was your favorite thing?
My favorite thing was the narrator. I don't know. I'll
appreciate
just have to pick something.
No, it's solid. Narrator. That was on my list.
The narrator was very funny. I really enjoyed this movie a lot more than I expected. I thought that I'd be like, there's some funny parts, but it doesn't hold up so well. But no, like, I'd watch this again.
Yeah.
I give it like 4 out of 5 coconuts being shot out of an elephant's trunk.
Yeah.
Nice. My least favorite thing about this movie is I don't like how many times they return to the watch out for that tree. Well,
yeah,
I think they do that.
Fair.
They beat that joke into the ground.
I assume it's because like it was like he had to do it at least once every cartoon. Like that.
Yeah,
was
I mean,
the
it was a constant
yeah.
cartoon. Yeah, but I think in the movie it is a little too much. Like one or two, cut out one or two of those, and I think it would be better.
It's like Tweety Bird going, I taught a putty tag.
Yeah.
It's a catchphrase. It's physical catchphrase.
Exactly.
For like referencing the name of the movie in the movie.
That said,
same kind of thing.
I do really love
this
the
sure
final.
Is a Bad Boys 2.
that said, I do love the final, like, let's watch out for that tree moment of, like, he's got to save Ursula, so he jumps off the biggest vine in the world and, like, is flying at supersonic speeds.
Right, there's literally jet sound effects in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
His cheeks are bellowing.
I love his line that. This will hurt very much, but George have to do it. It's so good. I love that. That joke has stayed with me for years.
Because
he
knows,
I think of with this movie.
Like, undeniably, that swinging on that vine ends in him hitting something. There is no way to stop otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. That said, my absolute favorite part of this movie is John Cleese as Ape.
He is so good.
Very single time he's on screen and being that ape, it is hilarious. And I love him in it. And I want a whole movie of that. I think that you could do that and it would be fun. I don't actually want that Hollywood.
Well, that might have made a better sequel.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, there is a sequel, so I can't tell you what happened.
Yeah, I think that would probably be better than whatever that sequel was.
I feel like Ape was still pretty prominent in the sequel. I don't know if it was the same voice actor, but I think his character was pretty prominent.
I guess let us know
overall,
on Twitter if you want us to watch it.
This is a really strong movie. Like, it's not a perfect comedy by any means. It does overdo some jokes, and there are some stuff that doesn't land, but it's just a lot of fun. Like, it is aiming at being a fun comedy movie for a general audience, and I think it nails that really strongly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this 4.5 English talking apes out of 5. I really had a good time. It's a very good movie.
Really good.
The only thing that I really hold against it is too many watch out for that tree jokes, and you're kind of obliged to do as many as you can squeeze into a movie like this. So, like, I get it, but I don't think it landed as much as it could have. So, Brian.
I really miss this formula of movie, because it used to flood the market of like straight to DVD-esque feeling Disney movies, but now it's really refreshing to go back and see one of these.
You could get away with a low budget in a comedy because like you're supposed like nothing.
I don't even know if this
seriously.
Is low budget with fucking Shep and like the really expensive waterfall scene that the narrator talked about.
right.
That and the outfit that Ape is wearing. It was probably fairly expensive with all the animation that must have been practical effects for his lips.
It cost 55 mil, and it box officed almost $175 million.
That feels right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is a bankroll.
Yeah.
I don't think that they just. I don't think they were like green screening like. What was that? Is it Parent Trap with the twins, but it's actually one girl? It's Lindsay Lohan. Is that Parent Trap?
No, that was Olsen Twins.
No.
No, that's Parent Trap, which is a remake of a previous Parent Trap.
I'm assuming that they actually had fucking five of these animatronic suits and not just one that they over... So that's a lot of money right there.
They very much stole these suits from the Congo movie because they're the exact same gorilla suits.
But do they... Does the Congo movie have like all the moving mouth?
And, oh yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That's okay,
the
one
with
the
that's talking
gorilla. So all these gorillas, I just looked it up. All of these gorillas were costume actors who were Henson puppeteers.
Okay.
From Muppets and Sesame Street. The faces were all remote controlled animatronics.
Yep.
And they just did all the other motions. And
stuff. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. That's really another thing I really miss is this kind of animatronics because like the dinosaurs family show that I think it was either Disney or it was something like
not the mama
I love that kind of animatronics. I wish people would do that again, but I don't know if like the people who dig it are all dead now so they can't remember how to, if it's just like not cost effective.
I think other stuff became cheaper and so
it's just not as good looking.
It's
correct.
Puppeteering is a bit of a lost art these days.
And like him swinging on the vines, which would now be like there's a fan blowing at him as he like stands in front of a green screen, was very clearly him. Like his loincloth is actually a harness clipped to the vine and he's being pulled along by a helicopter.
My favorite scenes were also the same as Rick's. Like I really like Ape, and my favorite scene was the biggest swing of all. Least favorite was probably the Wet Bandits. I think they could have been cast better. We could have gotten a Steve Buscemi and a I don't know for the fat guy.
Steve Buscemi would have been amazing.
Steve Buscemi and a John Candy.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
That no, this was that's like
your budget is now $80 million.
Yeah. Exactly.
This would be so like I think they are. The weakest part of this movie, everyone else fucking nails it. Even the bimbo girl is like nailing what she's doing just fine. So I definitely wouldn't give it a 4 out of 5, but I mean it's still I'm willing to give it like a 3.5 out of 5 really good animatronics.
What would you give Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
4 to 5.
What is wrong with
you? No, anyone else but you.
No, I'm definitely on Josh's side in this.
Yeah, but you're an old man.
Fair.
Did you used to like them and now you don't? Or you just never liked them?
I don't think I ever liked them, if I'm being honest.
Fun fact.
The Mask either?
Fun fact. Ace Ventura is rated lower than George of the Jungle.
One or two.
Game, set, and match.
The first one is 48%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean,
both of those are pretty
brutal. That means fewer critics liked it, which, in my opinion, makes
two,
it a better
and
rating.
Two has a 21%. Both of these movies are shittier than George the Jungle.
21%.
For When Nature Calls.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Craig. I thought you said that was the
yeah. What's
the
user scores on here?
You know, the people that matter.
User score is even lower. User score is a 15.
That can't be right. Are you? You're bullshitting. I saw that look.
Yes, I am bullshitting. It's like an 89 or something.
That's more. Okay. Yeah. No, it's fucking timeless. It's like Flubber. Like you can't just not like. You guys not like Flubber?
Yeah, I like Flubber.
Okay.
Flubber was fun, but not for Robin
Williams.
Stop hating. Flubber was fun because
wonderful Robin Williams.
It was fun. Imagine
rest in peace.
I also really enjoyed him in his dramatic roles.
Both of them, I like in all of their roles.
So as a child, I wanted to watch Flubber when it came to DVD. I guess it was probably VHS at the time.
Sure.
But my parents went to Blockbuster and they got the original Flubber.
Which is a great movie.
Okay.
I've watched that original movie so many times.
There was a show too, wasn't there?
I don't know if I've ever seen the original.
I don't know. I was like,
I thought there was a Flubber retrospective.
Anyway.
Flubber also rated lower than George of the Jungle. That's got a 24. Yeah,
that's
the Robin Williams
score, right?
Wow.
What's the audience score?
I'll tell you. 33.
What?
No. Yeah. Look at it right here.
Hold on.
Flubber.
Yeah, this is a bloodbath.
He's not lying.
Ryan's getting up to come look. Tomato meter, audience score.
You'll get off of the fucking
get shit
tomato.
On, Robin Williams. I hope you rot in your grave.
God damn.
Rotten Tomatoes is dead to me.
That may have been a little far. I apologize.
So, my final thoughts are very similar to both Rick and Josh, where I enjoyed ape and the narrator thoroughly. Mm-hmm. The only people we haven't talked about so far are the Swahili boys.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
The way that they contribute, they're basically, they're like the chorus in a Greek play where they provide the backdrop.
Yeah.
And they have several comedic moments that I think enrich the narrative.
Absolutely.
Thoroughly.
I like that they are, like, that Lyle was basically being racist to them, and they, like, are constantly getting the better of him.
Right.
Yes.
Like, not just with the gun thing, but, like, out of nowhere they talk about, they just come out, and they can speak English fairly well.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's trying to be, like, all high and mighty about his camera that takes instant photographs, and he's kind of like, oh, actually, I like the Leica 35mm, which, as it turns out, Leica cameras are, like, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it is wild.
He has just an incredible camera, and he's like, this is much better. Why are you using this piece of shit?
Exactly. My least favorite part is, I think I like Lyle better than Ursula, so Ursula is my least favorite part about this movie.
I can get behind that.
I don't think that she does the worst job that she could have, but I guess it's just the stupid mousy voice. It just really gets on my nerves as the hour and a half goes by.
Yeah.
So that's my least favorite thing about it. You all might hate me for it, but that's what I'm saying. With all that being said, I am going to rate this movie. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 bongograms.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's solid.
Yeah.
It does kind of seem like George only fell in love with her because that was the first vagina he's ever seen.
I mean,
well,
he didn't start going after other women as soon as he saw them. And there were a lot of bodies staring at him.
Like especially at that horse scene, they were just salivating.
For real.
Him.
Well, no, but that's actually a good point, because what does Ursula ever, like, aside from just being nice? Or not even being nice. She's just scared of
her. Her entire character is just being nice.
He doesn't fall in love with her until he's actually, like, talked to her some. For the first bit of it, he's, like, calling her fella and thinks she's another dude. Like,
yeah, until he has to, like, swab her tits. And then he's like, and he's like, oh, this fella got weird pecs.
Yeah.
What going on, ape?
And then he doesn't, like, actually start, like, being like, oh, I like this girl, until he's, like, hanging out with her and actually talking to her. So, you know,
what
I don't have an issue with that.
What do they talk about, right?
Somehow he hasn't learned the birds and the bees from apes banging.
Well, no, I think he was interested in her before, because he started dressing up with all his flowers and shit. And then they took a ride on the elephant. And at that point, like, sure, I'm sure they had talks on the elephant or whatever.
There's at least a scene before he's, like, dressing up to be all
that's fine. And genuinely, it's not an issue because it's a comedy and I don't actually need any scenes of them having, like, heartfelt, like, deep discussions. But, like, Brian does bring up a good point where there's no, like, building of the relationship. Yeah. It's like, oh, I see woman. Oh, we are in love together. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And that is the vast majority of this entire film.
Yeah. Yes. And a lot of films like this, like Insta-love is a well-known trope that shows up a lot. It's not always very well done, but I think as movies go, this one does it pretty well.
That's fair. Well, if you Insta-love our podcast and want to listen to more episodes, you can find them on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. Feel free to let us know how shitty Ace Ventura is and how George of the Jungle is a much better movie.
Hey, fuck you.
If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or use code OPINIONATED at checkout on manscaped.com. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We appreciate you guys listening, and until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.